Luxury, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm like really feeling accomplished about our show. We never talk about our show on the show. Maybe we just take a minute to thank you all for listening.
Yes.
Like we started this in July and just a few months. We've like made a bunch of shows. We're really proud of it. Thank you for the listeners and the team. And I don't know, just a pleasure to come once a week and talk to my friend about music. That's
I can't
say
it any better. Yeah. This is where our friendship started, talking about music.
Yes.
And we're still doing it. Yeah. And we're still sort of friends.
Yeah.
Sort of.
We're mostly friends. We're like 85 to 88% friends.
So today we're going to be doing something a little different from our regular episode. We're basically going to be talking through some of our favorite new songs that we've only discovered in the past year.
That's an important distinction. We discovered it. It came across our path just in the last 12 months. And we'll also be giving you some hot takes, sizzling hot takes on a few things.
I don't know how hot they are.
They're going to be sizzling.
They're definitely takes.
I can answer that question. How hot are they going to be? Sizzling hot.
Okay, awesome.
They're going to be sizzling hot takes about some of our favorite new music books, music documentaries.
All right, let's not keep the people waiting anymore. I'm actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ, Diallo Ripley.
And I am producer, DJ, and songwriter, Luxury, also known as the guy who makes short videos about Interpolation.
And this is the These Are a Few of Our Favorite Things episode of One Song.
Why do I always sound angry when I whisper interpolation? I mean, I'm about a kind
you
interpolation.
Talk to your therapist about that. I've noticed.
There's a lot of things I need to talk to my therapist about. That's just one of them.
Thanks to the U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Just like notes in a song, sustainable living is just a series of small, eco-friendly choices that contribute to the melody. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on At Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
All right, Luxury, as we kick off our 2024, we wanted to say, damn, a lot has happened in the last 12 months.
So much has happened. Been a big year.
I mean, like, we had Beyonce's Epic Renaissance Tour that both you and I saw.
And
wearing,
maybe, did you
wearing
hear?
Our silver.
But did you hear? Because I didn't hear very much of it. But you saw it and you heard it? My audio was terrible, is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we were both there.
SoFi Stadium, not so good in the audio department.
No, it was. There's something going on at SoFi. Yeah. That stadium does not.
I'm definitely
sound
seeing the
great.
Movie so I can finally hear what I was watching earlier this year.
But by the way, we both wore our silver.
We did.
Yeah.
Technically, I actually, if it's like the family wore silver, like collectively we wore the silver, I did not myself.
You did not
wear
silver.
The silver. But I do understand that a lot of the silver garments are being returned frequently, that
really?
The Goodwills are being inundated with people bringing their silver clothes back just weeks after going to the show.
That's funny. Yeah. Actually, you know, I thought this was such a good joke. I was going to wear like a Rihanna t-shirt, like under my silver.
Risky.
And Brittany was like, I can't, I don't want to be a single parent.
Yeah, that could have been dangerous. Yes.
Also, Taylor Swift had her own juggernaut year with her Eras Tour. Her re-release of 1989 sold over a million records. Who's spending money on CDs?
Right. That's a good question. And by the way, not just the tour being successful and the film being successful, but like the word Eras was like kind of maybe runner-up to Riz for word of the year. I mean, everyone started saying Eras this year.
Oh,
not
Lord.
A coincidence.
My kids, they cringe so
it is
hard.
A very cringe. It is a very
anytime
cringe.
Anytime I use the word Riz,
mucho
and it's just
cringe.
Like, come on, your dad is the king of Riz.
You are the king of Riz. Between the two of us, I think you're the king of Riz. This is your Riz era.
Usher closed out his Vegas residency after creating countless viral moments and after ruining, sadly, a whole lot of marriages. Not mine.
I was going
to
say.
My wife and I, we went to go see Usher.
In Vegas,
I emerged
right?
unscathed.
Heartbeat weekend. Yeah.
I was just like, don't look at him.
Is he that handsome? I missed that show. I'm sorry.
He's
a good looking man.
He
knows how to dance. He knows how to sing. Also, the landscape of how we listen to music continued to change. TikTok minted more and more hit songs, broke new artists, but also some of the biggest bands of all time, legacy artists, kept making music too. The Stones dropped a new album. We even got a new Beatles song.
And maybe the biggest surprise of the year, Andre 3000's flute album, which reminds
me. Okay, now you've got something to say. Zalt's got something to say over here.
I got something to say.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody who, after listening to that Outkast episode, proceeded to send me like pictures of them with Outkast before Outkast became like, you know,
that is
super
so cool.
Duper huge. Yeah, like it's just like there's so many cool pictures out there. And in general, I love, and I know Luxury loves, we love getting your DMs of stories of you, you know, running across some of the artists who we've talked about. I know you guys have sent us in a lot of songs for our One More Song segment. We're actually going through those. By the way, it can't hurt to send it again because sometimes, you know, your DMs get full and it pushes messages way, way down. So always feel free to send in more of those songs because honestly, we just like listening to new music. We love discovering new music.
And we love conversating about music, not just with each other, but with you guys too. We get in the comments. We have really fruitful conversations in there. And we just love the interaction about music.
Okay, so Luxury, let's get into it. Today we are going to share some of the songs that have come onto our radar in the last year. Our lists are not necessarily songs released in the last year, but rather songs we discovered in the last year. They can be from 2023. They can be from 1923.
Absolutely right. Not all the songs on my list or your list are from this past year, but this first one is.
Okay.
So I wanted to actually start out with a song that for me, what I was kind of looking for, what is the number one song in my mind that I think will forever be associated with 2023? This is a song that is so zeitgeist, so of the moment. It's like kind of embedded in amber in this year.
If
there was a tree, and then there was a tree, you know, the, what do you call it? The rings of the tree. Like, and you cut down the tree, mm-hmm. like in 100 years.
On this, that ring.
This song would be on that ring.
On the 2023 ring. Okay.
Have I made myself clear about
absolutely
how embedded in 2023 this song is? So first of all, I want to just go a couple runners up. This is a tough one to pick. But for me, one of the big, you can't talk about 2023 and not talk about Pink Panthers. Okay, so
love Pink Panthers. Been in love with Pink Panthers since her own album came out, and you know, I might talk about it a little bit later.
Yeah, no, talk about it.
I love Pink Panthers, but go ahead. I think I know where you're headed.
Well, no, I was just gonna say, like, I fell in love with her on the Boiler Room. Did you see that Boiler Room a couple years ago?
I did not.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, for me, like, I love that she was bringing back drum and bass. I love that she was like adorable and just like really this sort of
we're on the same page,
sort of that's proper amazing. At the same time, British. So this combination of factors all goes into the music, and in particular, this song is so 2023, not just because it's Pink Panthers, but also because it features Ice Spice. And here we go, Boy's a Liar, part two, really. All right, so that's a runner-up. That's a runner. Didn't make the number one spot.
Let me throw Pink Panther's song into the mix.
Do it.
I really thought her album, To Hell With It, which came out, I think, in 2022. I first heard about her on the BBC. I thought it was an amazing song. I thought it was an amazing album. And I was so happy to see her do a song with Ice Spice last year. Because I was like, oh, maybe now people will go back and discover To Hell With It. Let me play really briefly a song off of To Hell With It. This is Break It Off. That song, of course, sampling the famous track Circles by Adam F. came out in the early 2000s. Great drum and bass track.
I love that so much. I'm so glad you played that example because that's what I first heard is the drum and bass coming back, the jungle beat. It's so fast, but it's also you can do the halftime. Dun, 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 dun. It could be that or dun, dun.
If you want to get into some DJ talk,
right.
Most drum and bass is somewhere between like I'd say 160 and 170 beats per minute. But ironically, as we've said on the show before, if you have the beats PM, beats per minute, it's 80 to 85, which lines it up with a lot of hip hop. Mm-hmm. And so you can go from drum and bass to hip hop. I'm going to mention some more about drum and bass later in the episode.
Right.
But now back to your list of songs.
Okay, let's continue with my second runner up. And this is, now we have proper Ice Spice All Alone. This to me was neck and neck with number one because to me,
so you're feeling the spice. I was feeling the spice this year.
I was feeling the spice. And one of my favorite things about this song is that it's one of those, we talked about the phenomenon of TikTok music. This is one of those sound first and then artist later moments. Because there was at least a 2-week period where every video on TikTok was this. She a baddie, she showing her panty. She shaking like jelly. 100 bands of Chanel. But I'm still shaking ass in a deli. With my bitch getting dirty. What I love about it, again, if we're talking about, for me, like, what is my favorite song that to me will probably always be 2023? This song definitely is 2023. I love the fact that it's associated with these videos on this platform, yeah. which is a big part of my sort of daily experience, both as a viewer and a creator.
On TikTok, yeah.
So, like, and I love the fact that the trends, like, start within milliseconds of it being, yeah. like, a cool trend. You've got, like, Reese Witherspoon or whatever. Like, so many, like, weird celebrities doing this trend, which was, like, the lights going on and off thing with the crew behind them
dancing. Watched all of them.
Yeah,
I watched literally all of them.
This is a trend that I will watch every trend. I will watch every one of videos.
But
this
was weird. Okay, but this is that weird thing about TikTok, right? Because the song you just played is Deli by Ice Spice.
I don't think I properly announced it. This is Deli by Ice Spice. Thank you very much. Produced by Riot
USA.
But
a lot of those videos used a song called Benjamin's Deli.
It's
a mashup of All About the Benjamins and Deli.
Right.
Which, for our listeners who haven't seen all those videos like I did,
yeah.
Here it is right here. And what's interesting about that is, like, almost everything on TikTok, everything's sped up. Like, you gotta cram so much into that little bit of time.
Right.
So even Deli, as fast as it is like, you know, much, much faster.
He added 5 or 10 BPMs.
This version.
Yeah. I love it. And thank you for playing the original. I love the whole phenomenon, though, of you hearing it in that format and then you sort of researching or discovering the original. Like, I like this form of discovery. I know the music industry isn't crazy about it because it's like all over the place and unpredictable. You can't strategically like set out to make this type of phenomenon. But it led me to find the song. So
I think
you, TikTok algorithm.
100%. I'm not the first person to say it, but I fundamentally believe it. TikTok is what the radio used to be.
Yeah.
TikTok
that
makes
is true.
The hits.
That is discovery. Music discovery is TikTok.
I would have never. By the way, I got to give a special shout out to can I give a shout out to the TikTok song that I was kind of blown away by? It is this one. I want to say something about it afterwards. Well, here's what I'll say. I was at first transfixed by the I don't even know if you can call it a dance, by the movement everybody was doing to this.
Okay.
And then I was like, that voice on there sounds familiar. And I found out it was a sample of the Boondocks, which was like one of my favorite cartoons.
Cartoon, yeah.
This is a song called A Pimp Named Slickback. All right. So the fun fact is that
I was like,
wait, that's definitely Cat Williams' voice, but where is it from? And it was because Cat Williams was playing a pimp named Slickback. And every time he would be like, somebody would say to him, oh, hey, what's up, Slickback? He'd be like, no, I'm a pimp named Slickback, like a tribe called Quest. You wouldn't just call them Quest. I'm a pimp named Slickback.
So that's great.
It's a funny line from an old show. And in general, going all the way back to the Skrillex days, I love it when someone takes something from like a YouTube video
or
a movie clip and then unlicensedly throws it out there and puts it in a song.
I love it, too.
Now, hold up, Slickback.
No, that's a pimp named Slickback.
That's what I said, Slickback.
No, it's a pimp named Slickback, like a tribe called Quest. You say the whole thing, a pimp named Slickback.
And also, I just, to scratch my own curiosity, it's like, is that the original or is it interpolation? Let's find out. It's a sample with
a
clap.
It's definitely a sample.
Yeah.
But they sample Crystal Waters. By the way,
I think
we both heard that Crystal Waters sample
there. Let's listen to it. This is Gypsy Woman by Crystal Waters.
Also known as La Da Dee La Da Dow.
Yeah, when I first heard it when you were playing it just now, I was like, I knew that it was Gypsy Woman, but for a minute I was like, is this one of those Beyonce Show Me Love kind of things? Because if I had made what you played, I wouldn't do the sample and lose like all my money, because then you got to clear it and you got to clear the publishing.
Yeah. You would just
That's a keyboard sound that anyone can buy because it's a preset, maybe on the M1, I'm not sure. And then you add a clap to it, because that's what I heard, there was an 808 clap. So it's one of those situations like the Beyonce Show Me Love thing. It's like, you don't have to sample it. You can kind of just make it. I wonder how they did it. It's a question I have.
I love that you ask the questions that nobody else has asked.
Big questions. Only on one song. All right, so that was tough choice, man. What is the most, what's my favorite 2023 preserved in amber moment? And I think it's got to be this one. At the end of the day, it's Kill Bill by SZA. That's the.
I mean, you couldn't go anywhere right with that. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song.
You couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song. And there's something about it that, to me, when I first heard the song, it's kind of like a Paul McCartney Yesterday scrambled eggs moment where I'm like, this song has always existed. It feels really perennial. Like it's simultaneously my pick for this is totally 2023, and yet it's very. It feels like it's been around for a long time.
Also, there's nothing more disturbing than hearing the lyrics of Kill Bill sung by your 13-year-old.
Oh, man. That was creepy. Like,
oh, man. No. Don't sing that anymore. Don't talk about killing anybody.
No, please don't.
I see
it's such
everything.
A sing-song melody. Like I can
it
hear
sounds what, so beautiful and lightweight, right. And then you get into it, and then you're like, oh, this is
that's what
heavier.
Makes it so special is the juxtaposition of how beautiful and dreamy and melancholy sounding
it almost
and
reminds
murderous.
Me of Sly and the Family Stones. Thank you for letting me be myself again.
Good call.
Which was also a fun song with some crazy dark lyrics.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the entire Smiths catalog or something, right? The juxtaposition of music and lyric. Love
also,
that
one
stuff.
More thing about my 13-year-old. I was like, oh, what do you think of Ice Spice? And he's like, yeah, she's thick. And I was immediately like, you're going to your room. I don't ever want to talk to you again.
But was he wrong?
No comment.
But was he wrong?
My kid might be listening to the podcast.
Maybe you should be proud of him for that declaration, confident declaration.
Hey, man. Your dad says go to sleep. If you're listening to the podcast, go to sleep. Nobody who I am the father to should be listening this far into the podcast.
All right, Diallo, back over to you. I want to know what you got for me.
Well, listen, you know, one thing that's really important to me is always refreshing with, new music. It might be new to me.
Yep.
But there's just a part of me. I always want to try and find stuff that I think is a little underground. Not everybody's listening to it because that's how I got into music in the first place. I started off DJing the music that the other DJs weren't playing. I'm not a contrarian, but I'm always like, why aren't more people listening to this or to that?
Right. It's missing. You noticed it missing and you want to bring it back.
Yes. And so especially I love it when black artists are dabbling in music that for whatever reason, at least in America, we aren't associated with. A lot of electronic music comes to mind. And this song comes to mind. This song is by Sypho. Is it Sypho? Is that how he pronounces it? You know what? Leave this in the show because this is the other thing about listening to underground artists.
You don't always know how to say their
name. You don't always know how to say their name. So shout out to Sypho or Sypho. I don't know.
Normalize not knowing everything about all the music.
Sypho. Everybody can come to me in the comments. I'm trying to learn. This is a safe space to learn. He did a song called
Growth
Sober.
Mindset. Sorry.
He did a song called Sober that I absolutely love, and I want to play a little bit of it. The next 10 seconds are probably not going to do it full justice, so I suggest you go out and listen to it. But this is Sober by Sypho, and when we get done with it, I'll tell you what
I can't wait to hear. I don't know this. This is great. I'm learning. It's cool.
That's just a snippet.
That's so nice.
But I think that shows you where that song goes. He's from Birmingham. And so maybe somebody, one of our listeners, to be clear, Birmingham, UK, not Birmingham, Alabama, but if somebody in Alabama knows how to pronounce Sypho, you are also welcome to write in and tell us how it's pronounced.
That was super cool. I really love that and love the drum and bass thing. You want to talk a little more about that?
Well, listen, I mean
Or jungle. Do you consider jungle or drum and bass?
Well, I don't really worry. I consider it a little bit more drum and bass. Jungle was almost a very specific sound in the mid-90s, a lot harder, I think, than this. Drum and bass was always a little bit more atmospheric.
Yeah.
Here's a short path about my history of drum and bass. When Puffy started to take over hip-hop in the late 90s, I became a little bit disaffected because I was more from the DJ Premier Pete Rock school of no, when you sample something, you got to change it a lot. And some of those Puffy and Mace hits, they barely changed Hollywood Swingin'.
Mo Money, More Problems.
Right, so personal taste, I just wanted to hear something different around that time. And that was around the time that, to go back to Pink Panthers, I discovered Adam F., I discovered Goldfinger, and I discovered this wealth of jungle and drum and bass artists. And I was always like, man, I think if more, at the time, this was my thinking, I was like, if more black people got into drum and bass, they would like drum and bass. Drum and bass and jungle in some ways are black music from the UK, and we need to get it. What's ironic is that now, everybody's listening to UK rap, which, it went almost like drum and bass to UK grime. And then at some point, this wonderful drill sound came out of the UK. So now everybody's onto it. But I would ask, hey, guys, listen to some drum and bass. It's fun music. It's got a great tempo.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this is why this song was like, you know, this is brand new song for the most part. I think it came out in October. So like, you know, get into that. The whole album's good.
All that is super fascinating to me because it is kind of an area that I don't really know much about. Like I bought that one Goldie album a long time ago.
Yeah, Goldie.
But like I really that there's obviously an entire episode I think to be made.
We should do a drum and bass.
We should definitely do a drum and bass. But also connecting it to grime and you know getting into like
UK garage,
getting into UK garage and two step and all these different subgenres. And I just kind of as a result of our show and a lot of the deep dives we've already taken on air. Like I as you were playing that was hearing the connection to all of the Massive Attack and Jamaica stuff that we've been talking about in these various shows. And another cool thing about what I was hearing in that for the first time, maybe to my ears, was I was making the connection to your point about UK, about like the sound system culture there, because that bass sound...
It's almost dubby, right?
That bass is very dubby, both the sound itself, but also the minimal use of it. There's not a lot happening, but it's powerful. Boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
Bass lines like that are made for sound systems.
And you're talking
about... And they devastate you on the dance floor in the club.
You're talking about the bottom end, but I would also point out that one of the things I like about this song is that... while they have that bottom end, there's also like there's strings happening way up here.
Yes, nice
and
contrast.
Maybe one day we will get the stems for this song, or maybe have Cypher on the show, and we can break down all the because there's so much going on in this song. Yeah. I would love to break down each individual.
Super cool, great choice.
All right, after the break, we'll be back with more songs we're excited about, songs we think you should discover, as well as some more hot takes, fun listens, and musical trends we want to see more of in 2024. Stay tuned.
Sizzling hot takes. Not just hot takes. Sizzling hot takes.
Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Welcome back to One Song. And listen, we have more of our favorite songs to share. But I want to take a brief detour and ask you, Luxury, for some book recommendations. Because I like to read.
You know what? I really like to read, too. That makes two readers up here. I'm so glad you asked. I read a bunch of books this year, mostly about music. In fact, I don't think I read any fiction last year, which is maybe the sign of a warped brain. But here we are. And we're doing this show. So part of the reading actually was for the show. Because there are a few, not a few... many gaps in my knowledge. As much as we all like to get up here and pretend we know everything, which I don't think we do, I think it's pretty clear that we have some passion about certain things, and there's other things we're all learning about.
We're all learning.
If there was any mystery about that, it is, I'm stripping back the awning. Wait, what's the expression? How do you say I'm
stripping
revealing?
Back the layers? I don't know what you're going for.
I'm ready to reveal that there is a wizard behind the curtain, and he is just a man.
Okay.
We are just men here, and before we started making the show, my hip-hop knowledge was not what it ought to be, in my personal opinion. So
I think you're being too hard on yourself.
Well, I appreciate that, but I read a bunch of really excellent hip-hop books, not the least of which was in my top three for the year, and it's called The Come Up by Jonathan Abrams. It's one of my favorite styles of book is the first-person account, where you just, like, testimonials. You'll see, like, a quote from this person, a quote from that person. So this book is just, like, it'll be like, a quote from Cool Moe Dee, and then, like, a quote from, like, someone, the guy who founded the KML radio station that in the Bay Area that made hip-hop really huge, and then it'll be mm-hmm. a quote from MC Hammer. And it's just 300 or 400 pages of the story of early hip-hop as told
wow.
by the people that were there.
I love that.
In quotes. So I really enjoyed that, and it led me to Spotify and Pandora to like listen to this song and the next one. It's a great way to kind of like bone up on an area that you feel like, hey, I need to bone up on this area.
If you want to bone up on your hip hop, be sure to check out.
If you want to bone up,
especially in time for the 50th anniversary.
What good time to bone. Good time to bone.
What's the name of the book?
It's called The Come Up, and it's by Jonathan Abrams.
Awesome. What's the next book?
And next up, this is a category that we've talked about recently on the show, which is the dub Jamaican, all things dub
yeah.
in Jamaica. That is where I have the biggest stack of books, where I'm least deficient potentially. It's a very short period of time that I have this passion for. 1968 Rocksteady up till the end of Roots Reggae in 82 or so. My favorite book on this category, if this is of interest to anybody, maybe the Sister Nancy episode you've heard recently,
yeah.
it's by Michael Veal. It's called Dub. And what I love about this book is that it's not just a book about music. It reads just like any, like, it's written so beautifully, and it talks about both history and geography and politics and colonialism and music. All of these are woven into this really delicious combination of words, for lack of a better word, which made it a real fun read for me. So that's Dub by Michael Veal.
And what would be the last one?
And the last one is, I brought it with me, if you're watching at home. By the way, I should say, this is a good opportunity to say, because one of the most commented things we have on our video clips, on our TikToks and on our Instagrams, are people wanting to know where they can see the whole episode. And that is coming soon, I've been told. So I just want to officially say that coming soon, not only will this be an audio podcast, but you'll be able to see these entire conversations. So I'm currently holding up the book because it is a beautiful book, and it is called Quantum Criminals, Ramblers, Wild Gamblers, and Other Soul Survivors from the Songs of Steely Dan. It is a book all about Steely Dan. It's by Alex Papademos and Joan LeMay. It takes a song-by-song tour of the band, and it's got these really fun illustrations in it. And it's got the sort of sardonic wit and sense of humor that the band itself has. We are planning on doing a Steely Dan episode at some point in the future, so another fun read. Quantum Criminals, that's the one.
That's awesome. Thank you for those.
All right.
Something else I know that you're really passionate about,
yeah.
music documentaries.
Can't get enough.
What did you bring us?
The nonfiction is exclusive also on the television set. I only watch comedies and documentaries about music. So this
right.
past year, the three documentaries I watched that kind of made the biggest impression on me, I think I started the year watching a documentary from 2017 about the Slits, a punk band, post-punk
yeah.
band called
band.
Here to Be Heard, and really fun watch. And I didn't know much about the Slits. They don't have a lot of albums,
no,
actually.
No, no.
But
I usually
yeah.
came across them on like compilations.
Yes.
But every Slit song I came across, I was like, oh yeah, this is great.
It's great, and it's Ari Up, whose mom was married to Johnny Rotten for many years and just passed away recently.
Yeah.
And she had dreadlocks, really like amazingly creative, interesting person. Their album, their first record, I should say, was produced by Dennis Bovell.
But will we call them punk or post-punk?
Well,
what
I was just
call them?
I would call them post-punk.
Post-punk,
I think they're
okay.
To me, post-punk is
shout out to all my post-punk friends. Anytime you meet somebody yeah. and you're like, oh, you like post-punk too? You've
yeah.
made a friend for life. Go on.
Well, the distinction being, I think, the absorption of other genres, not the least of which in the Slits case is dub music.
Because yeah.
they have the dance punk songs that are sort of faster than your average dance song would be,
mm-hmm.
and obviously grittier and angular guitars, but they also, and shouty lyrics. So that's there's where the punk comes in and the speed. But they also have, their album was produced by Dennis Bovell, who goes by Blackbeard, who's a Jamaican dub producer who moved to the UK.
Oh, okay.
And it has all these dub elements to it, and there's dub remixes happening. And this is from an album in the early 80s by a bunch of white women in England. So it's a really cool cross-pollination of genres, of sounds, of just everything in the mix. Learned a lot about them at this documentary. So that's called Here to Be Heard, and it's about the band The Slits.
What's your next pick?
And for my next pick, again, many documentaries, but these were the ones that I was finding myself still thinking about. In the 70s, there's this music magazine out of Detroit called Cream, C-R-E-E-M.
Yeah.
And there's a great documentary about them, which is called America's Only Rock and Roll Magazine. This is also from 2019. I just happened to finally get around to it this year. Really fun to sort of have that be the focus, the Detroit angle and the rock and roll angle and the writer angle. So this sort of snapshot of music writing and journalism at this really crucial time when it was really changing and evolving, and you get all these famous writers, a lot of whom still write to this day, came out of this crucible of this tiny office in Detroit called called
Cream. It's so funny. Anytime I see something, anytime I discover something and it's like from 2019, I'm like, wow, that's like before the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Like I could have been listening to this like all pandemic long, or I could have been reading this or watching this all pandemic long. I'm like, where was I?
Where were you?
What was I into? We thought we had all the time in the world.
And then I would be remiss if I didn't fully admit to the fact that my favorite documentary, the best, most entertaining, most joyful documentary, was the Netflix documentary about George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley.
That's right.
I'm talking about Wham.
Yes.
And it's called Wham. It was such a joy to watch. And even though I knew all the songs and you think you know everything about it, I was really blown away by not just the revelation that Andrew Ridgeley was more than the second banana, but he was so much more. He was like, and continues to be, as he is still alive, R.I.P. George Michael, but such a kind and generous person to George specifically, and their friendship is so beautiful. I was very moved by this documentary.
That's great. Of course,
it's a pleasure to see all the footage of them, Jitterbug, like, you know, all the songs, all the bouncy 80s songs.
Listen, I think it's interesting that, you know, Wham, they were such a huge force in the 80s.
Yes.
And to the point that I was watching the British film The Firm.
Oh, I don't know this.
Actually, the remake from 2008, I think it is. And there's like an Andrew Ridgeley joke in there. And I told you that joke. And you're like, no, but you got to see this documentary. Andrew Ridgeley is not a joke.
This is perfect because we've been having this conversation recently about Outkast, about Andre and Big Boy. It's like there's something about duos. And as we know from firsthand experience, no one really knows what's happening behind the scenes.
No.
And there's almost always a misperception on the outside that's kind of an injustice.
Sparks, we don't even know who really wrote the song. The songs and Sparks.
I mean, we're pretty sure it was Ron.
We don't even, we really don't know. I will say one more thing about The Firm.
Okay.
By far, one of the best movies I've seen. Both versions.
I have to see this. Oh my God.
You got to.
It's on my list for tonight.
The original version, which is very dark, but seems like they've got some real soccer hooligans into the movie. And the remake is also very good and very different. I will say that's the documentary that I would like to see in 2024. I have gone looking. I have not seen what I would consider a definitive history on soccer hooliganism.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I would be so interested.
That sounds terrifying to me, actually. There are parts of the UK that I feel like maybe it's a little bit like there are colors I don't know I shouldn't be wearing. Like there's a whole soccer hooliganism. It's terrifying. They do kill people.
Wrong West Ham
they
bar.
Kill people. Why? I don't understand it at all.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Well,
those.
And speaking of coming up, I think we're both looking forward to, you know, in the coming year, there's this great Sly documentary we keep hearing about that Questlove is working on.
That Sly documentary is going to be great.
My guess is we share an excitement for this being our you know, on next year's list, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we can get Sly or Novena Carmel, his daughter, maybe we can get them to come back.
Yeah.
Or, I guess in Sly's case, to come to the show for the first time and talk about
it. Oh, my God. That would be a dream come true. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, Luxury, you're up next. What you got?
So for the next song, as we were just talking about, like these are songs we discovered in 2023. And I'm going to be super vulnerable here. These next two songs, the runner-up and then the winner of this second song, are both songs that a lot of our listeners, maybe most of them even, I'll be like, dude, you did not know these songs?
Yeah.
possibly this is how life is. I haven't heard all the songs.
You don't always get around to seeing everything.
I don't know all the music.
Yes, I can't agree more. It's like every now and then you find out someone hasn't seen that movie that everybody's seen. You
right.
know what? I was doing other stuff that year. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Totally
you just told me Spinal Tap. You haven't seen Spinal Tap.
Oh, man. You going to out me like that?
Oh, okay. Man, well, in the spirit of this song.
I was vulnerable. I told you that in confidence.
Oh, man. I didn't. Sorry. Well,
no, that's true. No, it's true.
Right?
I have not seen Spinal Tap. It's
not
a long
story. Seen all the movies.
By the way, I've seen all the clips, guys. I feel like I'm going
to
watch
all the
this.
Jokes.
I'm going
to.
I know all the jokes. The volume goes to 11.
See,
I get
he knows it.
I
knows
get
it.
All
okay.
those jokes,
right.
but I've never actually sat down and watched the entire right. movie. So
see,
you know,
I didn't even know the clips. I didn't even know the clips. So these are tracks that, like, I didn't even know the clips.
Okay, so what's your runner-up?
The runner-up for the song I discovered this year that is now in my life forever, and how did I miss it all this time, is, I'm so afraid to say it.
Say it.
Here it comes.
Just play it.
Okay, just play it. Oh, God.
I'm leaving this show. Yeah. Straight
out the fucking dungeons of rap. I'm so sorry, Internet, Diallo. I don't know how to start this. How wonderful. But let me just say this.
No, you have nothing left to say. You have nothing left to say. You had since 1993 to hear that song. And somehow you avoided it. You didn't listen
to it. I avoided it.
You know what? You know what? This song has one host. This song has one song, one host, because I quit. The man does not know the first song on Illmatic. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I appreciate how you're
Unforgiven.
My vulnerability has been rewarded over here.
I know, I'm a jerk for that.
This is payback for the Spinal Tap moment.
This
is payback for Spinal Tap. I understand. No, look, this is the thing. I am actually really proud. This is an idea I want to propagate, which is that not knowing everything is okay.
It's okay.
It's okay
it's
on
okay.
the individual level. Like, you can't possibly have heard
you
all the songs.
You can't possibly have heard the greatest hip-hop album of the
Christ.
1990s.
Oh, my
Who's
God.
Who's got the time for that?
Never going to let
You're
it go.
You're too busy watching Spinal Tap.
Never going to let it go.
Never.
Oh, my God.
You heard it for the first time on the show?
I heard it for the first time preparing for the show. I heard it for the first time in my readings about hip-hop and being like, oh, man, I missed this. I can't wait to catch up with this whole era. Because, like, there's
I know
eras,
every word to that song.
There are eras where I'm just, like, obsessively listening to post-punk, and then I get into my metal phase, and then I get into my... But my hip-hop phase, like, must
listening.
Have ended the year before, because I was listening to all that Jungle Breath, Tribe Called Quest,
yes,
and Diggable.
You're
absolutely right.
To the Native Tongues.
I just missed this. I just missed... It's like New York. I just left New York at the wrong time, the wrong day. The month later, I would have been in Yeah Yeah Yeahs, or I would have been James Murphy.
I didn't know this. This is fascinating. Okay.
Yeah.
If that's the runner-up.
That is the runner-up.
I cannot even wait to hear what the other song is.
I'm terrified for what your reaction is going to be based on what just happened.
I cannot wait to react.
Okay. Here we go. The vulnerable moment. This is the number one song that I discovered in 2023 that is not from 2023, and you will probably be shocked. That's the best. Maybe if I curl up in a ball, you won't see me. I had never heard Souls of Mischief, 93 till infinity, until February 2023.
What's crazy is the song is called 93 till infinity, yeah. And that's the amount of time you thought you had to listen to this song.
Yeah, yeah.
I took the lyrics 30 years ago.
I took the song title very literally.
What is going on in your life? So one came out in, Illmatic comes out in 94. This single comes out in 93. What is going on in your life that you missed these?
I love our friendship so much that on my behalf, you are that. That's what this is a reaction to on
no,
my
I'm,
behalf.
I'm
my friend,
shocked.
My friend is missing something crucial is what you're feeling.
One
I get
of them
it.
Is
I
a,
get it.
One of them is a huge radio hit for the time. I mean, 93 to Infinity was everywhere.
Was not
it was,
listening to the radio.
This is a Kill Bill of... the hip-hop radio charts.
I am literally in real time thinking about what was happening to answer the question, because it's a great question. There are definitely years that go by where I'm completely off the radar of popular culture, 100%, for different reasons. One of which, most recently, is because I'm making stuff, like an album or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're like, I was making stuff.
I was busy.
Music listener.
I mean, it's a fact. I'm terrible at making music. And
I was making stuff, too. I was making A's. Class.
I'm terrible. It's not a skill I possess in abundance that I'm able to like focus on the song I'm working on and also like listen to new music. I just can't do both because it always just distracts me because if it's good, then I'll be like, oh man, I should just give up what I'm working on. Or you know what I mean? Like it's really challenging.
I mean,
me.
There are times when I'm like, I don't want to watch any comedies tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Unsolved Mysteries, my true crime obsession. You know,
well, that's
like,
exactly.
And then
exactly.
I go on my phone. I'm like, oh shit, that shit still ain't solved. You know, like seriously, like up. The updates. I'm like, they ended.
They're
like
disappointing updates. Yeah. Very disappointing updates. But then there are times when I do invest in what's going on and like catch up and you know learn about the music
you've
of the era.
Caught up to like 93, 94.
Well, but
now.
It's interesting. I couldn't tell
you
offhand the
reaction in 1995.
There's spotty stuff throughout my musical knowledge and all things. All knowledge is, for that matter. So we've obviously found a big gaping hole. Not that we want to talk about big gaping holes.
You could drive a bad boy truck through it. I have a question. Is there like, is there divorce going on in your family? Like, did Uncle Joe die in 94? Like, why weren't you listening? Is it really just a creative decision?
I mean,
like,
the
I
answer.
I can't believe you brought up Uncle Joe like that. Was it Uncle Charles? Did you know the guy that Bone Thugs sings about?
I think the really quick answer is, here's the honest truth, is like I was working at a college radio station in college. I was the music director, ironically.
By the way, something else I didn't know we had in common. I worked at WHRB in Boston. Shout out to
But
WHRB.
Listen to the irony of the fact that I'm the music director and I'm not exposed to these. I think what was happening musically in this sub-world of college radio is white music.
Yeah.
Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, I'm getting all kinds of records that are more sort of what would have been alt-rock or indie rock. I'm probably listening to Smashing Pumpkins and Urge Overkill. Now I hated the Cranberries. But I was super into Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction and Urge Overkill.
I like those groups.
It's a lot of white rock, and Nirvana is still around at this point, too. So, like, there's a lot of Mudhoney, there's a lot of Sub Pop, it's rock music, and it's mostly white. And prior to that, my entire 80s upbringing is all the sort of disco and funk and synth pop. It's a lot more mixed.
Flock of Seagulls.
And then I've just come from having this hip hop moment, as we were discussing, where it's Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
And then we've got a couple years here that are very white in retrospect. I hadn't thought about it before.
No, listen, I was at WHRB. I had a hip hop show. So, you know, obviously I had the hip hop that I feel like everybody's heard. But then I also, like, I think back on some of the vinyl that was coming out at that time. And I'm like, man, some of that stuff, I don't even know if there are MP3s for it, because some of that stuff got released and the label went under. And, you know, I don't know if all that stuff is still.
And are they sending you Killdozer and Big Black? I mean,
no, but you know what?
Do you
maybe
even know
it's
these bands? Are like, maybe there's.
Maybe it's a culture size.
Right,
thing,
right.
But I also knew Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. Well, they were huge.
But all that kind of stuff.
I'm talking like sort of the more indie stuff, like from Touch and Go Records. Like,
well, you know, I was into Britpop. That was my rock of the 90s.
And
so
to be
I
fair,
was into Oasis and Blur and Pulp.
I equally missed all that stuff too. So for what it's worth, I have a huge gaping hole. Just gotta find a better way of saying this.
Yeah.
Huge.
Just say there's a absence
there's a huge absence
right now our producer is dying because he has about 18 sex jokes he wants to make. I'm not gonna make any of them, by the way. If I can say one more thing about college radio, I remember the very first Erykah Badu 12-inch. It came with a stick of incense that you could burn.
Brilliant.
And I thought that was, at the time, I'm like a college student, I don't know who Erykah Badu is,
but you need the incense.
I wanted the incense.
You got a smelly
room.
It was
Kedar Massenburg, apparently, his idea. He's a very important A&R in terms of, we should do an Erykah Badu episode and have back our good friend Duran Bernard.
Yeah.
But like, it was, you know, I burned the incense and I put on the record and I was like, who's this woman who sounds like, you know, Billy, you know, sounded like Billie Holiday, but she was singing about hip hop stuff. So I think we should at some point do an Erykah Badu episode.
I love it.
Talk
we'll
about
do that.
Working at college radio.
All right, Diallo, you're next. What do you got for me? Song number two, I think we're on for you, right?
Gosh, yeah. One of my favorite songs to spin this year. I'm a big fan of, like, you know, dance music. And I wish I could say, like, some DJ played this for me or some, you know, cool person hit me with a playlist. No, I was asleep in bed. My wife had been watching a movie, and at some point, the credit sequence came on, and I was like, it was so good. This has happened a couple times.
It woke you up?
It woke me up. Like, I woke up
in
bed, and I looked at the TV screen. I didn't even know what movie it was. I hit Shazam. It turned out it was Magic Mike 3.
Okay.
But hey, the song was cool, and it's really just, it's enjoyable. It reminds me of summer. The past summer, and I feel like it's just a great song. Anytime I play it, people are like, oh, what is this? It's really cool. The artist is it's actually two people. It's Diplo and Jungle. And I'm gonna say something about Jungle on the other side.
I love Jungle.
And the song is Don't Be Afraid. So that that's just a sampling of that song.
That's great. I never heard that.
It's one of those songs. You know, one thing that I think dance music does, understandably, is like a lot of times they'll give you 16 bars of just a drum beat, mm-hmm. so that the DJ can
mix it in.
You know, mix it in. But I like a dance song that comes in with just confidence. Like that song just starts up. You know, it's just like, if you gotta do. And by the way, I also like a good falsetto. I don't know. I'm just realizing now this song, Don't Be Afraid, my previous song, Sober by Sypho, both male falsetto voices. Yeah. I like a good falsetto.
I'm right there with you. And actually, Jungle, in particular, this band, in this most recent batch of material that I've been making as Luxury, they are one of the sort of role models for me. They're so good.
And what good.
There's certain kind of
Brit Jungle, just so you know, not to be confused with the genre of music. Jungle
British
is a British electronic group.
Two guys, really, actually.
Two guys, and they're I would ask everybody to go check out. They have like four albums, I want to say, right now. I think one last year, one in 2020. Regardless, go check out their albums. Jungle is making really cool dance electronic music.
Totally, yeah. And their first record, when that one came out, I was in the midst of doing kind of a rethink on my own music. I was kind of going from a harder synthy poppy, you know, electro clashy kind of sound, mm-hmm. and I was moving into something that was kind of more classic disco. And they were really representing to me like, oh, this band is kind of doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I definitely borrowed a lot of ideas, not the least of which is the falsetto, the live bass playing, and some of the sort of disco grooves and sort of the use of Rhodes keyboards. This band to me was very important.
And
I still
feel like
love
a band,
them,
don't they? They What's feel that? A little bit more like a band than most electronic outfits.
Well, that's the thing, is that their live translation of what they were doing is essentially two guys in the studio, at least when they first started. That was another inspiration. The fact that they had backup singers and like drums. They weren't doing it electronically. They were doing it, even though it was sort of made, I would presume, kind of electronically, samples and in the studio at home. But live, they perform with a full... They perform with a full band where it's a drummer, it's bass, it's guitar,
feel like,
backup
speaking
singers.
Of British duos, I feel like Basement Jaxx was one of the first electronic groups to, when you saw them live, they had a full band.
Yeah.
Like Chemical Brothers famously got up there with like their keyboards and their banks of electronic.
Right. And both things like, work, but like sometimes a band is definitely the way to go.
I've also noticed
satisfying.
Chemical Brothers, Basement Jaxx, Disclosure, like what is it about British electronic duo outfits? It's always two guys,
couple of white dudes.
It's always it's usually white guys. Yeah. But you know what? We could change that.
Yes, we can.
You and me can change that.
Yes,
and we will. You know, stay tuned.
2024. Here we come.
One song is coming to a city near you. All right, so that was one of my songs. Do you want to hit us with your third song?
I have my third song. This is for that moment when I'm vibing on the couch. It's the end of the day. Everyone's gone to sleep, and I can't do anything productive at all, not even watch a show. Uh-huh. So I will go to my vinyl record collection, which recently has been, the last 2 years, I've only bought like dub records. And my favorite dub records that I bought this year, here is the first one. This is the runner-up. This is Burning Spear, and this is actually the, you know, as we talked about with Jamaican music, the dubs sometimes get their own album. So he has a record called Marcus Garvey, but I bought the dub version of it, which is called Marcus Garvey's Ghost.
Oh, wow.
It's perfectly named because it's the dub versions of all those songs.
Okay.
And this song is called The Ghost. That's just, you know, I'm just chilling on the couch. It's instrumental. I don't have to think about anything. I'm journeying to Jamaica in the 70s or wherever I'm going.
Yeah.
So that was the runner up though. Here's the number one song.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready for it?
I don't know that I am.
Okay. Well, are you ready for it now?
We'll see.
All right. The song is called "People Make the World Go Round."
Trashman didn't get my trash today. Oh, why? Because they want more pay.
It's actually a remake.
Great song, yeah.
It's a great song by the Stylistics. You probably know the original. Mm-hmm. The remake is by Hortense Ellis, and it's very charmingly redone. You can hear you can sort of hear how they filtered this American sort of proto-funk song, like early 70s R&B song, into, they've Jamaicanized it, just little subtle touches. And here it is.
I like that a lot.
Oh, why? So just a really beautiful
song. That's super cool, yeah.
Just a really beautiful
song.
Takes
me back to, I feel like that song got licensed in a couple of movies and stuff I like too.
Maybe. I only discovered it this year. Yeah.
The Spike Lee movie, Kirkland. But
okay.
That song is a great
song. The original, the stylistic version?
Okay, yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a great song. And just the proof of a great song is that it can be covered, it can be remade in so many different forms. Mm-hmm. Interesting that you just chose like a remix too, right?
I think on a few, yes, actually, I would say in a future episode we should do our favorite covers.
Yeah.
That totally reinvented the song.
Love it. Yeah. You know I'm down for that one. So, Diallo, those were my three picks for the year, and I can't wait to hear your third and final pick.
Well, listen, I am always a fan of trying to get more people to listen to electronic music. That's no secret here. And one of my absolute favorite songs is a song called Clouds featuring Shabazz Palaces. The artist's name is Jarve D. And shout out to my friend Kathleen who played this for me. And I was like, yo, this is so great. I was talking to Vic Mensa one time about how just there aren't enough black people and rappers who are really getting down with dance music. But I feel like in the past 12 months, that's changed drastically. You start hearing more of an urban influence coming back into dance music. And this song is definitely an example of that. So here's Clouds by Jarve D. I mean, in the club on those speakers, that shit goes so hard.
That was amazing.
This goes so hard.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, you know, to go back to what we were saying earlier, like, you know, whether it's Sypho on Sober doing like drum and bass or an artist like this, like, I just love to hear, you know, just new influences throwing in on dance music. When we had Cascade on our show last year, one of the things he said was like, people are moving away from the idea that dance music has to be one thing.
Yeah.
And it's becoming this thing where everybody from urban to country to country urban, you know, like everybody's throwing in on dance music, and I love to see it happen.
Yeah.
So that's why
that's well said,
Clouds by Jarve D definitely goes hard, you know.
Great pick. Love it.
Yeah.
All right, Diallo, to wrap things up, I'm going to give you a few rapid-fire categories. These are rapid-fire categories.
Okay.
Rapid. Give me like this.
I will not delay.
Yeah, I want you to share whatever comes to your mind first.
Okay.
Don't overthink it.
Cool.
All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Artist you would most like to make a comeback.
A comeback?
Comeback. Who's been away and who needs to come back? Don't call it a comeback, but call it a comeback.
Okay, this is going to be controversial, and I don't want to piss anybody off. I'm going to say Disclosure. And the reason being that they haven't really gone anywhere, but I feel like the music that they're making now is like of a different genre. And I really want them to go back.
Vintage Disclosure.
I want them to go back to 2012.
Because they have an album like 2 months ago or something.
That's why I say it's a controversial take.
Okay.
Because they're still coming out with stuff, but Settle in 2012. I mean, I go back and listen to it all the time.
That made an imprint
on you. It's such a great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When a Fire Starts to Burn comes in so strong.
Love that song.
January featuring Jamie Woon is an amazing song.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Latch, but I would say those album cuts, like they introduced a whole new type of, I would
deep
argue,
house.
Sort of garagey, deep house style dance music that I just haven't heard from them since. So I really want to see them.
Right.
I like the new Disclosure, but in terms of a comeback, I'd love to hear Disclosure just do an album that takes me back to Settle.
You want them to come back, but be completely different. In the way that they would be completely the same as they used to be. In other words,
same,
you want them
a little
to
bit like they used to be.
You want them to be
a little
like they
bit.
Used to be. That's
all
fair.
Right. I know it was a longer answer in a rapid fire session, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, technically, your answer was fast, so you got the rapid fire.
I spoke
right
fast
there.
When okay. I said it.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, rapid fire.
Yeah,
here
yeah.
goes. Dream collab.
Dream collab. Shoot, man, I would love actually to work with you because we've worked on music before.
Aww, that's a sweet answer.
I would love for you and I to work with Mark Ronson. I think that there is a lot of
that
so
sounds
yeah,
great
that's our
to me.
That's our dream collab.
Consider it done.
We wouldn't have to explain
right.
our
it's
references.
A dream. It's a dream.
It's a dream.
It's a dream.
It's a dream collab.
That would be amazing. Wow.
I mean, we have worked on music before.
Yeah.
We did that song Black Nerd for Sherman
Showcase.
We got
a snippet of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard.
All right, so self-promotion to the 10th degree. No, but I think that like if we could work with Mark, that'd be a dream collab. All right, what's the last
great
one?
Answer. All right, last one. Dream genre crossover.
Dream genre crossover. Believe it or not, I'm going to say I want to see a current UK garage song blast off? Because I would argue that right now, the trend that I want to see more of in 2024 is just, it's this tempo. We saw it, everybody saw it with the Lil Uzi Vert song, Just Wanna Rock. Like, that song is so fast, it shouldn't really work with a hip-hop crowd, except that from, you know, Chicago Juke to Miami Bass, like, we've been dancing to that tempo for a long time, but that tempo, that 150 BPM tempo has not truly crossed over. Wow. But this year...
You want speed.
In the past year, I feel like that song, you were mentioning Delhi with Ice Spice.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see more stuff get into that really high sort of like 140, 150 BPM range that the Craig Davids and the Artful Dodgers and this group that I've been following, I think they pronounce it Parallel because it's written weird. It's got like P-Rallel. But they have a song called I Know, and it's also a really fast song. I want to see things get more into that BPM.
So you want to see that kind of stuff cross over to the mainstream?
I want to see that stuff cross over to the mainstream and sort of stay there. Because I think we've had, look, I'm from Atlanta. I've had a lot of like the 65 to 75 BPM hip hop song. Okay. Like Migos came in strong with that, but like it's been 10 years.
So what I'm hearing you say is TikTok, get on it, start getting those faster tempos up there. And Diallo will be happy. This is how you please him.
I will be really happy.
He'll be very happy with this.
Maybe we can play something that has sort of a faster
tempo. I think we should play that Lil Uzi Vert because I don't actually know it.
Here's a clip of Just What a Rock.
Project. This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. 60 block. I just want to rock. I just want to...
What is that BPM?
It's 150.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, that song is about 150. You know, like a lot of what I would consider garage can be like 135, 140, but in general, I like picking up the pace because I want people to dance again.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were on this track. I mean, it wasn't just Lil Uzi Vert, Baby Keem and Kendrick had the Hillbillies, which is another really fast tempo song. Like I said earlier, Delhi by Ice Spice. There was a song by a Korean group called New Jeans called Super Shy. You know, like all these songs were like
150, 160.
They were fast. Super Shy is also 150. So I want to see more groups playing this beat range because it's something new and fresh. And let's start working on a sound for this decade that doesn't sound just like the decade we just finished up.
Love it.
Luxury, we've had a lot of fun this episode. On a more serious note, what message of hope
message
do you
of
want
hope.
To leave the one song listeners
with
for 2024?
Oh, man, that's a big burden to put on my head. But I would say just thinking about, even as we've talked about on the episode, I think one theme that's emerging is the idea for this show, I think at large, is that we are not, we always talk about we're not gatekeepers.
No.
We really believe strongly that like it's the musical journey we're all on is different. And we're sharing ideas and songs and facts that we know and love, but we also are learning ourselves constantly. And as I just revealed, there's lots of songs that we don't know, just like you don't know. Nobody knows all the songs. And I think having some comfort in the idea that that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think there can be some pressure to like, especially in culture
Listen,
at large,
man, our
that you're aware of everything that's going on all the time on every Instagram account.
Listen,
you know,
man,
it's
our friendship is safe,
okay?
But I am going to task you, go home and listen to Nas's Illmatic album.
Oh, well, I've heard the album. Tell me this a year ago. That's what I need to
know. You've heard
the
whole album.
I've heard, listened to the whole thing once or twice.
Oh,
you could definitely stump me. You are definitely able to stump me.
That was a very light response.
But you know what? Another thing you're making me realize is like, it is true that you can't really cram either. So there's like a certain degree to which I'm able to comfortably talk about Metallica or whatever on some episodes. And there are other episodes where I'm definitely doing my homework and there's and you're definitely like talking more than me and vice versa. So collectively, we hope to like spread joy about the music, spread some new ideas, spread parts of songs you've heard before that you'd never noticed. All of that's coming from this like love of music, which is always growing, and we're always learning ourselves.
Absolutely, bro.
Diallo, what is your message of hope for 2024?
Man, ain't no hope.
Okay.
No hope. Stay indoors. Close your windows. No, I have a lot of...
Lock your cat doors.
I think 2024 is going to be great, and I'm going to wish a great 2024 for all of us, all the listeners, and all the people who aren't even listening. Let's have a great year, y'all.
Let's do it. Love it.
All right, Luxury, help me in this thing.
I'm producer, DJ, and songwriter Luxury.
And I am actor, writer, sometimes DJ, and big Illmatic fan, Diallo Riddle.
Oh, my God. I'm also a big Illmatic fan.
Oh,
now,
lies.
I am now.
Where's the lie? Everywhere.
One song at a time. Literally, you can only listen to one song at a time. You can only listen to one episode at a time. And this has been one song. We will see you next time.
See you next time. This episode was produced by Matthew Nelson and engineering from Marcus Hom. Additional production support from Jordan Colling, Charles Childers, and Alicia Shimada. The show is executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, Eric Weil, and, of course, Leslie Guam.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me along with co-host Leah Rose as we sit down with the artists you love to get unparalleled creative insight. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Usher, Pete Townsend, Damon Albarn of the Gorillaz, and Missy Elliott. And you'll hear from up-and-comers like jazz artist Leve, who told me about her fast rise to fame during the pandemic. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.